Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and the readings are from Psalm 8 and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Today's message is entitled, "The Wondrous God Really Does Care." Psalm 8, a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have adorned praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The Great Commission is what it's known as. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Gospel of our Lord. The sermon is titled, "The Wondrous God Really Does Care." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand, sustaining us through these days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Doctrine. Doctrine is an important word for your heart and for your faith. Many don't want to delve into doctrine. Just keep it simple, please. But that is not possible. Knowing the content of faith is important. That is where the doctrine comes in. Doctrine is what makes clear the content of the faith, so you can be confident the faith that resides in you is true faith in the one true God. For those who like to cook, recipes are important. Chocolate cake needs a recipe for chocolate cake. For frosting, you need a recipe for frosting. Now, what kind of frosting are you making? There's several kinds of frostings. What do you mean by what kind of frosting you're going to make, or what kind of frosting do you like? Right now, I'm working on a chicken fajita recipe. I pulled the basic recipe off the internet, and now I'm tweaking it to my taste. The last time I put the spices together, I kicked up the heat a little bit by doubling the cayenne pepper. Next time I plan to increase the heat a little more with the cayenne pepper and reduce the cumin, and add a little more lime juice to the mixture. And each time I'm going to tweak that recipe until I get it right for grilling the chicken fajita meat. One time when I was kids, my older brother, we were kids. I'll never let my older brother live this one down. My older brother confused the shorthand notation of tablespoon and teaspoon when we were making chocolate chip cookies. The cookies, the chocolate chip cookies, they looked fantastic. The aroma filling the kitchen was making the from the chocolate chip cookies was just making my mouth water. You know the aroma of fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And pulling that first batch out and having to wait until they're cooled, that wait seemed like it was forever. One bite, just one bite, and the terrible taste caused both of us to immediately spit out that long anticipated taste of chocolate cookies. We wanted them to grace our taste buds, but one bite was so overpowering, terrible in taste. Spitting out that wretched glob of cookie was not enough. Water! Water! Give me some water! There's a big difference between TBSP and TSP. A tablespoon TBSP is three times as much as a teaspoon TSP. Now, that would not matter if it was the chocolate chips that were added extra. You know, actually, that's probably quite enjoyable. But more salt? Horrible. Horrendous. Hideous. Ghastly. Quite nasty. Inedible. After all that work and waiting with the kitchen filled with that wonderful aroma of fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And there's no way to recover the remaining batter. It all went into the trash. Now, this brief excursion into recipes, it just may help you understand the need for doctrine and knowing doctrine and getting things right. The recipe you have before you, it makes all the difference. Don't expect pizza dough from a cake batter recipe. Both have flour, both have sugar, both have salt, but then they diverge. Similarities and differences. You can focus on the similarities and try to forget the differences, but you can never get pizza dough from cake batter mix. It will never become that, no matter how much you focus on the similarities. Just as our culture around us likes to say, the three great Abrahamic faiths. You can do a search on Abrahamic faith and find many sites that emphasize the similarities. Well, only one claimed similarity, and that is Abraham. And the truth, it's not a similarity at all. There is no record of one of the religions tracing back to Abraham. In fact, that religion only appears and begins in the 7th century with absolutely no historical context to claim Abraham as its father. The fact is, only Judaism and Christianity are truly in the lineage of Abraham. And that's through the promised Isaac. So as ingredients are important, the content of faith is important. That is doctrine. Now, I've started tweaking that chicken fajita recipe, tweaking it for my taste. And people like to tweak their faiths for their taste. This tweaking is not keeping the recipe the same. I'm actually starting with a base recipe, and through the process of making it my own, I am changing the recipe. Yes, it's chicken fajita, but the two recipes will taste totally different. So in essence, they're really two different recipes. They're different. This is the same when a person picks and chooses what to include in his personal faith according to his personal preferences. It's no longer the same faith. Just as my chicken fajita recipe is no longer the one I started with from the internet. It has been changed. And when a person picks and chooses what to include in his faith, it is no longer the faith. Again, this is where doctrine matters. Doctrine is to see what is passed on to the next generation is the exact same. Yes, exact same as was handed down from the previous generation. No changes at all. Finally, those chocolate chip cookies with too much salt. Everything was spot on, but one thing, and the result was terrible. The cookies looked good, smelled fantastically wonderful, but when needed to satisfy the craving and hunger, too much salt in the cookies, it was not up to the task. And that's like the prosperity gospel you hear. It sounds good, feels good, but when life happens, that gospel is found to be as terrible as too salty of chocolate chip cookie. This is why doctrine matters. This is why the Athanasian Creed begins. Whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally. Now this is the Catholic faith. This sounds exceedingly exclusive, and it is. It's intentional. Want to be saved? Cling to the Catholic faith. Change anything, even a smidgen, that one will perish eternally. So let's zero in on that word Catholic. That's little c Catholic. It's little c Catholic. This is not Roman Catholic, capital R, capital C. It's little c. That word Catholic, you can look it up for yourself. Catholic means universal, relating to all men, all-inclusive. The Greek word is Catholicos, from the Greek phrase meaning on the whole, according to the whole, or in general. St. Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch in Syria, shortly before his martyrdom, was the first to use that term Catholic. And it was in a letter to Christians in Smyrna. The year is about 107 AD. But you can find roots of this in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 reads, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." The phrase, "the church throughout," that phrase, "the church throughout," in the Greek is ekklesia katholos. Ekklesia katholos. Church throughout all. Katholos. Katholos. That's where we get Catholic from. It came to be one word concerning the whole universal. This brings us to another aspect of the doctrine. It's not of individual preferences. The doctrine belongs to the church as a whole, as the faith is the faith of the church. As individuals, we are grafted into the church, grafted into the faith of the church. Remember, ecclesia means church, it means congregation, it means the whole body of Christian believers. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. All authority has been given to Jesus, and now Jesus sends us out to go and make disciples. Make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, along with teaching them to obey everything commanded. Teaching. Teach what? Teach the things of God's commands. That's teaching doctrine. This is what a disciple looks like. This is how a disciple behaves, because these things are good and righteous according to God's word, the scriptures. And notice the emphasis is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Some assume this is three names. That's not true. It's the name, ho onoma, in the Greek, ho onoma, the name. Following the Hebrew understanding, a name is inseparable from the person to whom it belongs. The name is a manifestation, a revelation of the character, of the essence of the person. So being baptized in the name is sacred and precious. As Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12 puts it, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." When you're baptized in the name, you are claimed as a child of God. God, capital G or little g? Well, that depends on what God you're speaking of. When you hear the word God, you have an understanding that may be vastly different from a person in India that hears the word God. Or say God another part of the world, and that person will have another understanding. This again is where doctrine comes in. The only saving faith is the faith that worships the one true God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. It's a difference of being saved or perish. And what makes the difference? What kind of faith resides in you? Is it saving faith? That is, the faith of the church as revealed by the scriptures in the one true God? Or is it a faith that humans have crafted at some time or some place? Saved. What do you mean I need to be saved? Well, I can tell you, on display these past weeks throughout the news and through various cities has been proven over and over again the doctrine of human depravity. Humans are sinners following the evil one. Yes, we have seen evil on display this past week or so, perpetrated by people on the streets, perpetrated by people in the news media, by calling these things peaceful protests, when in reality the things are riots. Evil, when over 7 premium cards, including almost all of the Dodge Hellcats, were stolen from a dealership in California. The dealership lost over $5 million, and the dealers said, it's a war zone. It's domestic terrorism. Evil, when over $55 million in counting in damage has been done into small businesses in the Twin Cities. Evil, when bricks, pallets of bricks, and cars and trucks, they're being staged to enable these riots to happen. It's evil, for when celebrities are given money to bail out these rioters and not giving a single cent for the small business destroyed by the rioters. It's evil for local prosecutors in St. Louis and New York to release and set free these rioters. It is evil when Episcopal priests complain about the president and totally ignore the rioters' attempt to burn down the historic St. John Church that has stood since 1816, yes, stood over 200 years, where every president has worshipped since President Madison, where President Abraham Lincoln would go during the Civil War and pray. Evil, when the retired St. Louis police captain was murdered while protecting a friend's pawn shop. Evil, even last night, when a California sheriff's deputy was murdered and two other officers wounded when they were ambushed with gunfire and explosive. It's evil for journalists to compare these Antifa riots to the D-Day landings. Now this same evil is calling for the defunding of police and removing police from schools. Evil is seeking to destroy law and order. Evil is trying to destroy the basis of civilized life and bring anarchy, which is the child of evil. The gospel of Jesus Christ is needed more and more and more these days. This evil, Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem and to save us from. In Jesus, in Him alone, is salvation. Salvation is alone found in the crucified and risen Christ Jesus, who is the ascended Lord. Were these eyewitnesses the disciples to the reality of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended, the believers were faced with the challenge of understanding who Jesus truly is. Taking all from what Jesus said about Himself and what Jesus said about His Father and what Jesus said about the promise of the coming Holy Spirit. How do you put all of this together? Because the foundation of the faith was the Shema. The Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is what set Israel apart. One God, not many gods. Now Jesus, who is before them in their midst, crucified, risen, and ascended. This Jesus is Lord. This Jesus is God. How do you put it together? This Jesus is revealed. He is God. He's revealed through His teachings, the Father. He is revealed, the Holy Spirit. How do you put all of this together? This is where doctrine comes in. Somehow in the mystery of the existence of God are three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yet in that mystery of God, there's a oneness we cannot comprehend. And what is more amazing, this God, the one true God who made all things, the wonders all around us, created us in His own image, this God is mindful of us and truly cares for us. When evil came into the world through the fall, this same God promised a Savior would come. That Savior has come, Jesus, who is the Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right now, it seems the world is falling apart all around us. It's easy to fall into depression and despair. Easy to feel that all this breaking and falling apart. Hard to keep composure. Hard to keep things together. Hard to keep that appearance. I'm okay. And through this all, the one true God still reigns and cares for you. That one true God, through Jesus the Son, said in Matthew chapter 28 at the very end, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That one true God, through the power of the Spirit, inspired David to write from Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him." The Father cares for you. The Father cares so much that He gave His only begotten Son to be Savior. Jesus died to redeem from evil, from that total depravity that's all around us we've seen in the news. Jesus came to redeem from that, to make possible salvation for all. Call on His name and you can become a child of God. Jesus promises to prepare a place for you, to be with Him forever in the presence of the Father. Until then, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as surety of what is to come. So cling to the faith in these trying times. This faith will see you through. The faith of the church that has been handed down across the generations from the disciples to you this morning is about the wondrous God who has redeemed you because God cares about you. You are not abandoned. You are His forever. He will not let go of those He has redeemed through the precious blood of the Son. God cares. God really does care for you. And He will see you through. He will see you through till He comes again. Amen and amen.